Welcome back to our second episode of the Big 12 Country Hoops Podcast. I'm Jason, joined by Fitz and Tyler. How you guys doing this evening?
Doing good, man.
Doing pretty good. Just battling a little sickness, but getting through it and making it through.
I hear you. That sickness is kind of going around the whole crew, it seems like. Fitz was on with us last week when we did our preseason preview. This is Tyler's first time on, so I'm going to give him a second to introduce himself and tell us where you can find him.
Yeah, what's up, guys? Really excited to be on the podcast, finally. I know we tried to get this started last year. Didn't pan out for whatever reason, but I'm happy we're getting it going. If you want to follow my personal account on Twitter, you can find me at TRMasur, spelled M-A-S-U-R. And then, of course, if you're a Longhorn fan, go follow us on Longhorn's Big 12 Country account. Me and Sky kind of tag team the basketball thing. He does a little more for the Texas basketball side than I do. But go give us a follow.
Awesome. Yeah, man, I'm excited and glad you guys could be on tonight. We got 1 week in the books. Had some exciting stuff going on. Then you've got, you know, your traditional first games of the season, first couple games where, you know, things get a little lopsided. So tonight we're going to kind of go over what the teams have done so far, where they stand right now. We'll talk about some things that surprised us, anything that we may have learned in the first week, and then take a look forward to games coming up in the next, you know, 7 days or so. So let's start off with the Jayhawks. Obviously, they're the favorite to win the conference. Some have them, you know, winning it all this year. I think a lot of expectations may have changed, though, after some people saw Duke play last week. But so Kansas started out, they're 2-0 right now. Their first game was against Michigan State. They won that game 92-87. The score was a lot closer than that game felt for me. It never really felt like Kansas was in trouble or anything like that. But the score, you know, got kind of close there because Michigan State kind of made a push there in the second half. So, Fitz, would you think of your Jayhawks? First look at them, and you know, it's not an easy opponent, so that's an actual test for a first game.
Yeah, for sure. Michigan State, you know, any Tom is, I mean, Tom Izzo, doesn't matter what team he has, the team's gonna come out playing like crazy. So, and they always have a tough defense, but the first half, our offense, man, it looked good. You know, we were moving the ball well. You know, going down low, Dedrick Lawson, you know, looked great. So, you know, a lot of good things. The biggest thing, I think, really was the defense on our end, which is really surprising to me because one of the biggest improvements I would have expected this year would be on the defensive end because of all the big guys that we have. Unfortunately, it hasn't really translated, which is the reason why Michigan State was able to come back. You know, our defense, especially on the perimeter, has just been, you know, horrible. So I don't know. The game, it was almost like two games. You know, you get that first half and everything looked great. And you're like, man, Kansas looks like that team that could make a Final Four or win the championship. The second half, not so much. You know, you're like, well, there's a lot of things that we need to work on. And, you know, they're not looking as powerful as what, you know, we kind of what we thought. So, you know, but things like that can happen. You know, you got a lot of new players on the team and you're up by 15, almost 20 points against Michigan State. So a lot of them could just kind of lay back a little bit, but that type of atmosphere. And thing is when you're in this type of competition, you know, it's not like high school where you can lay back and just, you know, sail your way through the rest of the game. You know, these teams are going to come back and they're going to keep fighting, especially a Tom Izzo team. And I think that's what happened. We just got a little lackadaisical and, you know, and again, our defense just didn't look great. But either way, still really happy to see the win, you know, because Michigan State, again, they're always going to be a good team. And it's just a tough opponent. You know, your very first game of the year, you don't really want to play a team like Michigan State, but we did and we won. So I'm happy with it.
Yeah, it was interesting too, because you know, from my perspective, it almost seemed like a sleepy 92 points from Kansas, which is kind of scary. It's like you watched it was like, all right, you know, they're playing okay and they're doing this, and then you look up and it's like, wow, they scored 92 against Michigan State. So you know, it's like one of those situations where it was you know, just felt kind of weird. Tyler, did you get to catch that one? What'd you think of the Michigan State Kansas game?
Well, yeah, I caught the first half of it because Texas tipped off that night as well. So I caught the first half, and the first half of that game, I was like, okay, this is Kansas. This is why they are number one. They are the clear number one team in the nation. And then I tuned into the Texas game and watched that in its entirety, and I checked back in with the Kansas-Michigan State game, and it was over by that time, and it was a five-point win. And I was like, well, crap, that doesn't match up to what I saw in the first half. But at the same time, like you said, I didn't really feel like it was that close of a game. I think the score was closer than the game really was. And at the end of that game, I thought, okay, Kansas is still probably the best team in the country. I think we've got a good representation here from the Big 12 for the tournament. And then I saw Duke, and I'm not so sure.
Yeah, that, you know, I think, you know, touching on that Duke-Kentucky game, Duke's impressive. But just like most Kentucky teams, I think that team will be a lot better come March than it is now. You know, so Duke's good, don't get me wrong, but I don't think Kentucky's anywhere near what people are expecting Kentucky to be when it comes March. So second game for Kansas was Vermont the other night. Sluggish start for Kansas. You know, they ended it, you know, really, Gerald Vick kept him in the basketball game. That guy went off the other night. So, you know, a little more info on what happened in the Vermont Kansas game, Fitz.
Yeah. Like you said, it was a sluggish start. You know, just things weren't really going our way. Our perimeter defense was just absolutely horrible. Leaving guys open, they're hitting threes, and Vermont, you know, they're that type of team. You know, they're not afraid to shoot, and they were hitting them early on. So it really kind of put us in a tough situation. You know, we were playing from behind there, and you know, it was a little bit scary. You know, the first half, you're thinking, these are the types of games that you lose to teams like Vermont. They come in and they start shooting hot, and they don't cool off. You know, so it was, the first half was a bit scary. Luckily, they started missing. I think their 3-point percentage ended up being a little bit below 35%. So they definitely cooled off, and that helped us, you know, kind of crawl back into the game. By halftime, we had the lead. And then Gerald Vick, man, 8 for 8 from 3-point, 3-point line. I mean, just insane. You just don't see that. Like, I think it actually was a record for Kansas, I'm pretty sure. So, and then on the night, we shot 63% from 3-point. So, and Dedrick Lawson, I'm not even sure Dedrick Lawson even scored a point, to be honest with you, which that's what's going to be with this Kansas team. There's going to be a lot of weirdness, you know what I mean? Because there's so many guys on the team that could step up and score 20, 30 a night. You know, so you're going to see those different guys that are going to step up. You know, one night it's going to be Dedrick, one night it's going to be Azubuki. Then you got your freshman, Quentin Grimes, and then Devon Dotson. That guy can score. Gerald Vick, like we saw. Heck, Marcus Garrett, you know, he's one of those guys that, you know, coming off the bench, he could put some points in. So, you know, it's just interesting. You know, that game was, again, it wasn't one of those games you look at and you say, oh, Kansas is going to be, you know, they're definitely the number one team in the nation, which I think is why Duke jumped them. Another reason why, just because Kansas hasn't really looked like that number one team because of the inconsistency, I think mainly on the defensive end. But it's nice to know that, you know, we're winning, you know, we're 2-0, you know, without playing solid defense. So once I think our guys start to pick it up, and that's the thing with Bill Self is his defensive schemes. He's a defensive coach, and now he has a team where he has enough bodies to be able to play that type of defense. So it'll be interesting to see how they progress throughout the year, especially on the perimeter. Like I said, because that's just been absolutely terrible. But yeah, overall, I think it was good. It was good to get this win. It was scary at first, but it was good to win and to see Dedrick score 0 points and us almost win by 20 points. So that, I guess, is kind of a plus.
Yeah, for sure. One of the things I did notice is, Azubuike still can't make free throws, which could create a problem down the down the stretch at some point. So, we're gonna move on here to Kansas State. I haven't got to see a lot of Kansas State. I've followed their games and tried to keep track of them, but too close. Well, the first one wasn't real close, but it was close for a while. They played Kennesaw, won 56-41, and then Denver and won 64-56. I know Kansas State's a good defensive team. They seem to be struggling a bit scoring the ball, though. With Kansas State to score, they've kind of started off sluggish, it seems, both games. Like I said, I didn't get to watch much of either game, so I didn't get to see a whole lot. Tyler, any thoughts on Kansas State at this point, 2-0, on two teams that they should have handled?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, I didn't get to see anything, any of the games either, just because, you know, they're not on TV or whatever. But I thought I was kind of paying attention to that Kennesaw State game as they were going through, and I thought Kennesaw State was going to pull it out for a second, and I was like, man, is the Big 12 down this year? Like, what's going on here? I mean, eventually Kansas State was able to pull away, but it was just an ugly win. But yeah, like you, I haven't watched enough of it to really give any kind of analysis on that team so far.
Fitz, you got any thoughts on it?
K-State is a team, like you said, they're going to be strong on the defensive end. You know, that's really going to be their strength. And then going down low to Dean Wade. This game, like you said, man, they had a hard time scoring. They like 8% from three-point range, which is – it's hard to win games when you shoot 8% from 3 points. So – that's rough. But, you know, the thing is, they're going to hold their opponents to a low shooting percentage. And that's where they're going to stay in these games. So the K-State's not typically going to have high scoring games. Almost kind of like a Virginia team. You know, so they're going to, not saying they're going to have their defense as good as Virginia, but they just have that type of game where they have a real strong defense, and they might have some issues scoring a lot of points. But, you know, Dean Wade so far the first couple games, to me, he's looked pretty good. Maybe not the best player in the Big 12. I think we have a long ways to go before we start looking into that more. But, like Tyler said, man, it was a little scary at first. You know, Kennesaw State isn't a team. You know, I'll be honest, I haven't heard of them, you know, so I don't know anything about them. So to me, it's not a team that any Power 5 team should even be close to or really lose to. So that part was concerning, but I'd say the biggest part really is that three-point percentage. I mean, that's just horrible. I don't get it.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I thought Texas was a bad three-point shooting team. Good Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And it seems to me, you know, Dean's been, you know, he's played okay, but it really looks like that team's going to go as Barry Brown goes. He kind of looks like the clear leader of that team. And, you know, I think he scored 25 against Denver and like 15 against Kennesaw State. So it's like he's the guy that they're really leaning on to get their scoring out of. So, you know, we'll see. I was kind of surprised that, you know, they followed up the Kennesaw game with a game against Denver, and, you know, I think they won that by 8 points, you know. So, you know, I don't want to overreact in November. You know, these teams are just getting started, just getting going. So, you know, we'll see where it goes. So next up, we'll go to Texas. Texas is 3-0. They've got three games under their belt already. Eastern Illinois, they won 71-59. Played a really good game against Arkansas. Won that game in overtime. That was nuts. Ended up pulling it out 73-71. And then they beat, who was it, Louisiana Monroe the other night, 65-55. So we'll kind of glance over the Eastern Illinois game and get right into that Arkansas game. Tyler, I'm sure you had to be super excited watching that game. That Roach 3 was huge.
Oh, for sure. Going through the Eastern Illinois game real quick, or Snoop Roach was suspended for that game for something that happened last season. And the game just kind of started off slow, and it seemed like we were struggling to produce offensively, and just kind of the same struggles that have been going with this Texas team for a while now. And I kind of just chalked that up to, we're missing probably our best player, our best scorer, at least, for sure. He's on the bench right now. So that's going to get figured out, I thought, for sure. Well, we go into Arkansas, and it's the same issues. And we're shooting up, we're throwing up threes that we have no business putting up. We just looked awful behind the arc. And luckily, Snoop was able to hit that three at the end and save the game, essentially sending it to overtime. And it was bad. And my blood pressure from football season has been high all year, and now basketball is doing it to me. Well, it's football season, and I can't cope with that. So it's been a stressful couple weeks, but
sports, man, it can't be good for us, but we love it.
Yeah, exactly.
Fitz, did you get to catch that the Texas Arkansas game?
You know, man, unfortunately I didn't, but I've heard, I kept looking at the score, every once in a while, but I unfortunately did not get to catch it. That was, I was having a rough night that night. I actually ended up in the ER, so if that says anything.
We'll give you a pass on that then, since it's the only way you get a pass trips to the ER.
I don't want to get too much into it, but yeah, it was, that was a rough night for me, but I was definitely, sitting there in the ER, I was checking on scores and stuff. And, I saw it was definitely close, and I saw it, went into overtime, and it was, it was glad they pulled it out. That's all I can say.
Oh yeah, me too. Trust me, especially against an SEC opponent, like that you never want to lose against the SEC, or at least I don't ever want to lose against the SEC.
Oh, not at all. Yeah.
So I like that, and they have the SEC Big 12 matchup every year, and so I'm looking forward to that one as well.
Yeah, for sure, and that maybe end up being one of those games that's looked at down the road as one of those key wins that moves you a seed line or. Something along those lines. So it was an important one early.
Yeah, it was. And just one more thing before we move on. A lot of people see Arkansas and they see it as a big name program, but they're a really young team this year. I think they only had one returning starter this year and they're starting five. And so that's another thing that kind of troubled me, because Texas has a lot of guys that came back. That played last year, and to see that kind of struggle against a really young team that's not like a Duke or Kentucky who gets five every year that can just ball out on the court, like that kind of concerned me a little bit. But I think it's definitely a better win than like a Kennesaw State or an Eastern Michigan.
Yeah, for sure. And I think you touched on it a little bit. One of the things that was troubling to me, and I think I sent a message to, I think it was Sky, I may have sent it to all you guys, but watching Texas run offense was just, I couldn't figure it out. I'm like what are they trying to do? It was almost like, make a pass or two and jack a three and, no inside out. It was tough. It was tough to watch at times, but they got the win, moved on. It's November. I'll keep saying it. It's
exactly.
It is what it is at this point. So, moving on to Iowa State. This is kind of my, my dark horse of the conference this year. I think they're going to end up, you know, finishing a little higher than what people project. And I'm not saying they're going to win the conference or anything like that, but Cyclones are 3-0. Alabama State, they won 79-53, beat Missouri 76-59, and then beat Texas Southern 85-73. So it's not just that they've won, you know, they've taken care of business. And you know, you got a Power Five team in there with Mizzou, with you know, close to a 20-point win. So, and that's, and, you know, and they're doing that without Lindell Wigginton right now. You know, he's got a cast on his foot. You know, sounds like the last I saw, it may be December sometime before, you know, before we even see him. So, you know, getting those wins without him is going to help them build some depth and, you know, just make them better down the line, especially if they can keep winning without him. So, I did get to watch a little bit of the Mizzou game. You know, They're your typical Iowa State team. They're fun to watch. You know, they kind of bang around a little bit. They can run. You know, so it'll be interesting to see, you know, what they look like when Wigginton returns. You know, again, not a whole lot to go off of when we're talking about the competition that they've played. But, you know, the Mizzou game, regardless of what they are this year, is still going to be a good win for them. So, you know, anything that, you know, either one of you want to add to the Cyclones and their three games?
Yeah, I think winning these three games is probably the most important stretch for any team in the Big 12, because they are without their best player. I mean, winning as many games as you can without your guy is probably one of the most important things to do when they're down, because that just makes it so much easier when he does come back to be able to keep winning, and you're not all of a sudden in this hole like, crap, now we're 1-2, or we're, you know, 2-2, or whatever when he gets back. And it's just so much easier for you to get into conference play and to continue winning against the better competition once you do get that guy back.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think once Wigginton comes back, man, they're going to be, I agree, Jason, they're going to be the dark horse of the conference. And they are. They're always a tough team to play, man. It doesn't matter where you play them. Kansas, I know we always have a tough time, especially at Hilton Coliseum. So, yeah, they're, to get those three wins to start the season like that, especially one of them against an SEC opponent in Mizzou, I think is huge, especially without Wigginton. Once he comes back, this team could be dangerous, man. You know, they could be fun to watch.
Well, and hey, didn't Texas Southern beat Baylor? Baylor in week one or the first game?
Texas, yes, yeah, they did beat Baylor.
Yep. So yeah, even one of their smaller opponents, I mean, they still beat a Big 12 team. So that, wow. You know, Iowa State beating them, it looks even better there.
Absolutely, and they got Arizona, man. That's definitely a game I'm going to tune into. That'll be that'll be another big test for them. And man, if they go to Arizona and get a win, not that Arizona, I don't think they're like crazy good this year like they were last year, but it's still fun to beat Sean Miller.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure. I was getting ready to say that. We're going to find out what they're made of next week for sure.
Oh, for sure.
All right, so let's move on here. We got Texas Tech, also 3-0. They have beat the, what is it, Incarnate Word, 87-37. Mississippi Valley State, 84-52. And what is it, Southeast Louisiana, 59-40. So, not sure we can take a lot away from the Texas Tech games besides they're just doing what they're supposed to do. You know, no game has been close. You know, just kind of taking care of business early. You know, just moving on with things and getting to the next one. You know, when you're, I think they're, what's their average margin of victory here? Like 30 points on the season. So, you know, from the other side of that, it's good to see them starting out the way that they are with the amount of talent they've lost, you know, coming into this season. So, you know, they seem to be, you know, right where they need to be right now when it comes to losing Smith and those guys, and you know, Jarrett Culver's, you know, leading the ways. I think he's averaging about 16 points a game. So I haven't got to see him a whole lot besides just some highlights because the competition that they're playing, it's hard to catch those games. So anything that you guys have seen or have on Texas Tech at this time?
Not a lot, man. They haven't really played a lot of competition, as you said. So it is clear, though, they're going to have another solid defensive team. I think, Chris Beard, that's going to be his MO, is to have a tough defensive team, and they hold their team. And granted, they haven't played great competition, so you can't really take a whole lot from it. But I think two teams they played shot below 20% from three-point line, so that's definitely good for them. They're not going to be a team that's going to really turn it over a whole bunch either. So, they'll be an interesting team to watch as well. I think I had them maybe fourth on my poll, but I thought maybe they could fall a little bit lower just because of who they lost. But, they may live up to it. Again, it's, we'll just have to see who they have, coming up. I don't know. I think they have, is that USC they have coming up on the schedule? So we'll, not that USC's again is a great team, but it'll be their first actual test, their next game. So we'll see how they play then.
Yeah, I mean, like both of y'all have said, they haven't played anybody worth a damn. But it's nice to see them beating teams that they're supposed to beat and doing it convincingly. There's not a whole lot to take away from it, but good, big wins are wins, and that's all you can really say.
Yeah, and they got with Tech. They played Duke this year too. I just saw that.
Well, that's going to be trouble.
Yeah,
that one's not going to turn out that great.
No, that'll be interesting. All right, I like that. I like when Duke plays Big 12 teams because
it's a gauge, right? It gives us a gauge.
Oh yeah. Depending on how bad that game goes, it'll let us know. Okay. All right, it'll let us know how the Big 12 is going to do probably in the tournament. So, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so let's move on. We'll go to TCU. They're 2-0. Kind of struggled in the opener with CSU Bakersfield. That game was, I mean, it was close to the end. I think TCU finally kind of put it away with some free throws with, maybe under a minute left. If I don't know the exact time, but I remember watching it and just being like, man, this is dicey. That was without Jalen Fisher. So, we got to take that in consideration. He's going to return it at some point. So, it was sloppy. They forcing a lot of shots, weren't making a lot of open shots. Everything kind of ran through Robinson. If Robinson finally got going late in the second half, and that's kind of when they trailed a lot of that game, and Robinson finally got going, and I think he came down and scored like three straight buckets to kind of get them out of the slump that they were in and get them going. So, they ended up winning 66-61. And then their second game was against Oral Roberts where, they played much better. Won 79-62. Did either one of you guys catch the Bakersfield game?
No, I didn't. I mean, I kept up with it through the ESPN app, but I wasn't able to watch it. I was working or something, but yeah, that's obviously not what you want to see from one of your top teams going up against CSU Bakersfield.
And as far as me, I don't have a ton to add. I'm just excited to see Jalen Fisher come back. I mean, he's that poor guy, with his injury, and it's just taken a while to come back. And I think I went to Big 12 media days. And, it seemed like, he was almost ready to come back. Like they said that he was pretty much playing at 100%, but they're just being cautious with him. And obviously with the first few games, it looks like their first part of their schedule until they do play USC at some point, is going to be pretty easy for the most part. Is that Gonzaga? No, that's not. That's Fresno. Sorry. Sorry. yeah, so their first part of the schedule is pretty easy. So I don't blame them for keeping him out and being safe, especially when you're a team that you know, that could make a run in the tournament or even in the Big 12. So, yeah, it'll just be interesting to see how much better they are with Jalen Fisher.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, what's this, his second injury? So, yeah, you definitely want to be cautious when you have the ability to. So, you know, we'll see where they're at when he returns. You know, I would assume probably in the next week or so he'll probably return. But, you know, again, their schedule going forwards, you know, not anything to be real concerned about. So moving on to Oklahoma. Oklahoma's 2-0. Wins over UT, Rio Grande Valley, 91-76. And then they also beat UTSA, 87-67. You know, Oklahoma's, you know, the teams that they played, they've done what they're supposed to do, kind of routed them. It was nice to kind of see them. I think Fitz and I talked about this a little bit on the preview show, of what they would look like without Trae Young, because everything went through him so much. You know, it's a good sign scoring 91 and 87 points in your first two games, regardless of who you're playing. You know, you're still scoring points, and, you know, your offense is running. So that was good to see out of them. Again, can't take a lot from it when we're talking about these teams. So, you know, any thoughts you guys want to add on the Sooners?
Yeah, I'm definitely interested to see how they play without Trae Young, and I could say that Christian James has really looked good both games. Granted, these teams that they're playing are, you know, great teams, but I think you know, we're gonna see a different Oklahoma team. They won't have as high as highs, but they won't have as low as lows, if that makes sense. Because if Trae Young is off, obviously that whole team was just, they didn't know what to do because that everything went through Trae Young. So this year they're going to be a little bit more even. They're going to be more consistent, and I think they're going to be a tougher team this year. Maybe, you know, obviously the hype's not going to be there, but I think they do have a potential to maybe make a little bit of noise. I think I had them finishing last in the league, but maybe it'll surprise me. We'll see.
Yeah, I had OU second to last in my top 10. Or my preseason rankings. I'm excited to see what they can do without Trae Young, but I really just don't think it's going to be enough. Like you said, they had their peaks and then they had the very bottom, depending on how he played. But I don't see the production. I don't see them being able to match the production that Trae Young had from last year. But I mean, they did pretty well offensively these last two games. So I guess we'll find out once we get more into conference play how they end up being.
Yeah, I agree. Next on the list, we'll go to the teams that that have taken an L already this season. Baylor, like we touched on a little bit earlier, lost to Texas Southern in the opener, 72-69. They went on to beat Southern 80-53 to kind of right the ship a little bit, and then beat Prairie View A&M 91-80. So Baylor starting out the season with a loss to Texas Southern's, you know, kind of rough, especially when you look at it in the reverse when Iowa State, you know, handles them pretty well. So again, Baylor is one of those teams with the schedule. I haven't got to see a lot of them yet, but you know, it's probably not a good sign when you're losing to Texas Southern to start the season, and but they did bounce back a little bit, so that's a bonus there. You go. What's your guys' thoughts on Baylor at this point?
I love King McClure, man. He's just a fun dude to watch play, but I just don't think the team is. I think Baylor could end up being the bottom team. You know, I think it depends on how, you know, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State has a lot of new guys, a lot of fresh faces. But, you know, Baylor's going to be interesting, man. They got a tough schedule coming up. You know, they have some teams. You got Ole Miss. Not necessarily that Ole Miss is a great team, but they're a Power 5 team. They got Wichita State, Arizona, and then Oregon. You know, so they have some tough teams coming up. So we're going to really see, you know, what they're made of. But like I said, I do like King McClure. He's a hell of a player, and we'll see how far he can carry him.
Yeah, no, I agree. I really like watching King McClure play. He's a stud, man, and he's gonna have to lead that Baylor team if they're gonna make a tournament run. It's gonna have to run through him. And Baylor always confuses the hell out of me because they're either extremely athletic and good, or they're just bad. And it seems like it's more so athletic, the more athletic good teams, than they are just awful. But I don't really know what to think about Baylor this season. And if I remember correctly, I'm pretty sure Baylor was ranked pretty high in the media, like the Big 12 media poll. And I was confused about that because I'm not sure what I think about Baylor this year.
Yeah, I agree. Like Fitz said, Baylor's confidence is definitely going to be tested here in the next month or so with that schedule of that they're about to face. So, you know, we'll see where it takes them. I'm with you guys on McClure, though. You know, he's really good, and you know he'll help them a lot, and they'll grow. Baylor's athletic, you know, so they always kind of have a chance to beat some teams because they are really athletic. So we'll move on to Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State lost to Charlotte in their opener, 66-64. Charlotte hit a buzzer beater to win that game. So that kind of stung Oklahoma State a little bit. And then they're actually playing now as we're doing this. The game's probably over at this point. They were leading pretty well the last I saw it. So they're probably going to be 1-1 after this evening. Or last night, if you're listening to this on Thursday. So I saw some of that Charlotte game, and there was a questionable call there, you know, that was kind of big. But, you know, again, a guy hits a buzzer beater, it happens. You know, they were in position to win the game and ended up not. So it's one game, it happens. You know, Charlotte's got a tendency to be a team that can win some games and, you know, be a problem. So it's not that bad of a loss when you're looking at it at the beginning of the season, in my opinion. But it is what it is. And, you know, Oklahoma State, we all kind of agree, I think, that they're going to have some growing pains this year. I do think they're going to be better at the end of the season. I think they'll be one of those teams that could end up kind of, you know, obviously Kansas is probably likely to win the conference, but they could be one of those teams, I think, at the end of the season that kind of helps Kansas win the conference by beating somebody towards the end of the year that may be kind of in the hunt. And, you know, that kind of seems like what Oklahoma State kind of always does. You know, each year they come up and bite someone that they don't think is going to get them.
Yeah. Well, they end up hurting KU too. So they like beating us a couple times every year. For some reason, man, they just—it's something with Bill Self, you know, because he obviously that's his alma mater. So he played basketball there, and man, even they play us tough in Lawrence, and when we go to Oklahoma, obviously Oklahoma State, that's obviously I think one of the toughest games. It's turned in to be tougher than Iowa State now. Obviously, West Virginia is the toughest road game for us every year, but Oklahoma State, man, it doesn't matter what team they have on the court. Every time we go there, man, they just, you know, they give us a hard time. And I would like to know the win loss record since Bill Self has been at Kansas and playing at Oklahoma State. So that'd be interesting. I'll have to, next time we have a podcast, I'll look into that and see what that is. But yeah, Cameron McGriff for Oklahoma State, dude's a stud as well. You know, he's carrying them so far, so we'll see. They'll get better. I mean, just like you said, man, they're going to get better, and they're going to be that team that you know, is just that pain in the butt team. They're going to win against teams that they shouldn't be beating, and they're going to hopefully help KU win another Big 12 title.
Yeah, no, I mean, y'all are absolutely right. going to Stillwater in basketball is it's terrifying, really. I mean, nobody wants to go there. It's like the Death Valley in football of the Big 12, in my opinion, because it seems like something weird always happens there. And I guess you could say the same thing about Oklahoma State in football. But it feels like Stillwater just has some kind of a voodoo effect on these teams, especially late in the season. And like y'all have said, they always end up beating somebody that they shouldn't beat. I hope they beat Kansas this year. I'm ready to see Kansas not win the Big 12 for once. And what seems like almost my entire life, I mean, I'm only 21, so I haven't seen a whole lot of Big 12 basketball, but it's been so long since anybody else has won the Big 12, and I'm just ready for that reign to end. I know, Fitz, you're probably pissed at me, but playing against Kansas this year, I'm going against Kansas.
That last part hurt.
Except for maybe OU, because I can't cheer for OU against anybody. And I know I'm probably going to piss a lot of our fans off on that one, but that's all right. Y'all don't have to like me.
Well, how about this? I root for Texas. I root for all the teams in the Big 12 when they're not playing KU, obviously. And it's easier for me to say when I'm up on this podium, and I've been sitting up there for like 14 years now, coming up on 15. So, you know, it is easier for me to say that than I'm sure you guys. But I get it. You know what? I get the hate, and I appreciate it. But man, I'm sorry. It's not going to happen this year, man. Kansas is still going to win it.
You know what? That's why I picked them number one in my preseason rankings. I agree with you, unfortunately, but I'd love to be wrong on that.
Fair enough.
I would love for everyone to hate my team because we'd won 14 straight championships for sure.
It feels good.
Yeah, I imagine.
That's what we have football season for, so Fitz can get knocked down off his pedestal a little bit.
Dude, everybody loves KU football. And, you know, and people think, oh, because the media this year, I mean, they're just all over just how much, like, oh, look at KU, man. They're turning the ball over and, like, treating us like these little preschool kids. And, you know, I don't like that love. Like, I want a team to come in and be like, I hate these freaking guys, man. I hate playing them.
It's funny because everyone kind of roots for Kansas, like, in football season. They're like, come on, beat someone. Yeah. Get a win.
Do something.
Yeah. It's sickening, dude. It's embarrassing. It's like, man, whatever. And then basketball's like, beat Kansas.
2016 Texas calls and says, don't talk about embarrassing.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. All right, so just to finish up, Oklahoma State did win tonight. They beat UTSA 82-60. So they got in the win column tonight to right the ship a little bit. So last but not least, 0-1, West Virginia lost to Buffalo in overtime in Morgantown to open the season. It pains me to say that, but it is what it is. I'm going to be completely honest, though. I watched that game, and I truly believe West Virginia should have gotten beaten worse. I don't want to say lucky. Buffalo, Massenburg was an absolute nightmare that night. He scored 43 points, hit a three to tie it to send it in the overtime from like 33 feet with, you know, Sagabaugh Kanate like 3 feet from him. Like, it was just one of those nights where it was like that. The guy just seemed like once he got going, he wasn't going to miss, and it was crazy. But on the flip side, I don't know if you guys got to see it or how much you watched of it. If Buffalo made threes the way they're capable of making threes, they could have ran West Virginia out of the building because they had open look after open look and didn't make hardly any. And then, you know, West Virginia kind of got things under control a little bit and you know, made a little run, got a lead. I think they're up like 11 points with probably 5 minutes left. And then Beetle Bolden got like, he cramped up and he, you know, had to leave the game and he didn't return and like the wheels just fell off. So what I gathered from that game is if Beetle Bolden's not on the court, West Virginia's in trouble because their backcourt, they're young right now. They'll get better as the season progresses, but you know, the young guys just weren't ready to handle that heat in that pressure situation, and Beetle was the one that was scoring. I think he led the team in scoring that game. And so it just, and he hadn't been practicing, so I would assume that's why the cramps happened, because, you know, he'd been setting out from a hand injury in practice and finally got started playing in a game and just couldn't get through it. And it was ugly. It was ugly. Lost 99-94, you know, for a Bob Huggins coach team to give up 99 points, overtime or not. Not a good look. Issa Ahmad didn't look great. So we're going to see, you know, where they're at. You know, they'll get better. Obviously, Huggs will make that happen, or he'll kill him on a treadmill, you know, trying to. So I don't know if you guys saw that game or what you thought, but my opinion, they deserve to lose, and they probably should have gotten beaten worse than what they did.
Yeah, man, that little white kid for Buffalo, the point guard, is that the kid you were talking about just a second ago?
No, Massenburg, I don't know, he's a senior. They're just unreal.
Dude, he went off. I watched most of that game, and that was incredible. Like, that performance is kind of one of those that, like, seals your legacy at a school, and I feel like that's kind of what he did there by beating West Virginia, and that's kind of a compliment to what you guys are. And I think, like you said, Huggs is going to turn this team around. And by the end of this season, it'll right itself. It seems like West Virginia always becomes better down the stretch, finds a way to win big games. And so I'm really looking forward to watching West Virginia more towards the end of the season. But it was entertaining on my Friday night to see West Virginia lose there. Not going to lie.
Jeez, this guy Tyler, just, man, he is a freaking hater.
Just throwing blows.
Yeah. Hey, I'm the Big 12 country villain.
He, you know what? He's just mad because he's got Shaka Smart as his coach. That's what his problem is.
Hey, no.
You're projecting your anger from Shaka Smart onto us. You gotta relax.
No comment.
Press that relax. All right, fair enough. No, West Virginia, man, it was surprising to see him lose, but we all knew that Buffalo was, you know, this wasn't a team that was going to come into West Virginia and just get obliterated. This is the same team that took Arizona out of the tournament, I believe, right? So, and Arizona had a team that most thought would go on in Final Four and even win it. So, so tough team. I think really the biggest thing for me is turnovers. It was just really weird to see Buffalo only have 11 and West Virginia had 19. West Virginia is really known for turning the ball over, or not turning the ball over as much, but making their opponents turn the ball over more. So that part was definitely interesting. So they're going to have to shore that up a bit. That's one of their big parts of their game is playing that real tough, intense defense. So, but we all believe in Huggs. I mean, the guy is he's just one of the best out there. So this is only going to make West Virginia better, definitely.
Yeah, I agree. And a lot of people compare it to last year because they started out the season getting smoked by Texas A&M over in Germany. But it's a little different. The leadership on that team last year was quite different than what this one is. So a leader's definitely got to come forward and lead the charge. But I don't want to take anything away from Buffalo. That team's legit. They followed that win up with a win at, I think, Southern Illinois to you know, after that win. So they've got two quality wins to start the year. They're in the top 25 now. West Virginia dropped out of the top 25 for the first time in, like, I think it was like 53 weeks or something like that. They were like too shy for the school record or something like that. And And fell out to 26. So, I mean, couldn't throw them a bone and, and keep them. Yeah. Buffalo's at 25 and they, you know, slot them in at 26. So, you know, still a lot to be seen. They got the Myrtle Beach tournament coming up here. I think tomorrow night they play. So the Thursday. So we'll see. That's kind of a recap, you know, of the first week. There's a lot of basketball games in there for 1 week, but you know, like we said, a lot of them are just games that were results that you expected. You know, we kind of got a little more in depth there of the games that we were shocked about and the games that were bigger games. So Going forward, anything that that you guys learned after week one that you think is relevant?
I'd say for me, just for, you know, obviously on a, from a Kansas standpoint, we have a long ways to go as far as defense. And, you know, that's something we're definitely going to have to do quick. You know, we have a tough schedule this year, non-con schedule, and then we get into the Big 12 play and it's going to be just as bad. So, defensive end, like I said, I predicted that we'd have a solid defense this year. And so far, that prediction has went down the toilet. So hopefully self is on them. And defense to me is one of those things that it's whether you want to do it or not. You know what I mean? It's not like one person is going to be better at defense just because they're a good defender. No, it's because they want to play defense. You have to actually want to play defense. And it's tough, you know, because it's, you know, it takes a lot of energy, you know, especially if you're playing a tough team. But, you know, I think Bill Self said, you know, you gotta take offense to somebody scoring on you. You know, you have to kind of play defense a little bit angry. Like, dude, this dude's not going to get by me. He's not going to score on me. It takes a lot of toughness, a lot of grit. And I just haven't seen it yet from this team. So going forward, we'll see how that works. And also Texas offense has been really surprising because they're supposed to have one of the best backcourts in the Big 12, and it just hasn't looked promising this year. I don't know, Tyler, what's your take on that? I mean, do you think it's the coaching? Do you think it's just first few game jitters? What's up with that?
It could be a combination of a lot of things. You know, I'd like to chalk it up to first game jitters. I honestly think a big part of it is Mo Bamba was, you know, such a huge piece on both sides of the floor. Maybe he didn't produce offensively as much as a lot of Texas fans would have liked, but he was still that, you know, 7-foot giant frame that you have to put guys on and you have to pay attention to him. And they don't have that as much this year. And so I think they're really struggling to get the ball inside and they're just kind of taking the cheap threes. And part of that goes back to the coach. You know, you've got to coach the guys on how to get that penetration and incorporate some kind of half-court offense. Because I know, Jason, you and I talked about it briefly. The half-court offense is non-existent. I mean, it's just bad. And it seems like if they're not going in transition, they're not going to score. And it's just wasting time. So I think offensively they still have a lot to figure out. Defensively, I think they'll still be okay. As far as the whole Big 12 goes, I think from week one, I learned that it's still just a giant question mark, and Kansas is still at the top. That's kind of how I saw when I was doing my preseason rankings. It was Kansas, and then there's nine other teams I got to rank now. So, and I think after week one, it still kind of stands like that.
Yeah, I agree with you. And one of the things that I saw and was pleasantly surprised with was Shaka Smart actually pressing again. That's something I've been just pounding my desk over for, you know, a couple years now. It's like, come on, man, like, this is what you do. Do it.
Right.
And, you know, and the crazy thing is it seems like last year would have been the time to do it. You could have put that full court press on and had Mo Bamba standing back there at the rim protecting it, kind of like West Virginia does with Sagabaugh Kanate. That covers up a lot of errors in like big plays whenever a guy gets a fast break and he's looking at, you know, a premier shot blocker waiting for him at the basket. Like,
yeah, right.
So he kind of missed the boat not doing it last year, but it was good to see that he's kind of started to ramp that back up again. From what it seemed like he said, he's going to be kind of sparing with it depending on foul situations and things like that. He doesn't want to do it all the time because, you know, he doesn't want to get his team in foul trouble. So, you know, that was the thing for me that I saw that I was kind of pleasantly surprised with, and you know, it was, like I said, it was good to see. So looking into next week, so we'll start with Thursday. Well, I'm not. We won't really preview the games too much. Just kind of get an idea of who's playing and playing where. So, Thursday night, West Virginia plays Monmouth in Myrtle Beach. That's the Myrtle Beach. I think it's the Classic. It's called. And then Fresno State plays at TCU. Friday we have Nichols or Nichols State, whatever they want to be called now. I know the drama with the I think it was Kansas football team and who they were and what they were called now. Plays at Baylor on Friday. We've got Eastern Kentucky versus Kansas State on Friday. And that's the Paradise Jam in the U.S. Virgin Islands. So Kansas State will get a nice little vacation there. The Citadel is playing Texas. Before I want to move on to this, I want to give Tyler a ton of credit. It was a hilarious tweet if you guys didn't see it. Texas plays the Citadel in basketball this week, and Alabama plays the Citadel in football this week, and asked who will score more points on the Citadel. And it's a legit question. And I kind of think Alabama is going to be the answer, and that's absurd for a November football game to be played. It's not going to be a pleasant weekend for the Citadel. Let's say
it is not.
Probably going to make a lot of money, but other than that, so props on the tweet. Well, how did that turn out? What was do you remember what the vote was?
I haven't seen the final. I posted it up on the Facebook page too. By the way, quick plug, if you haven't liked us on Facebook, go ahead and go do that. Me and Colin pretty much run that, but I looked at it a couple hours after, and I think Texas basketball was up like 56-44% or something like that. And then the Facebook side was around the same. So a lot of people still taking Bama, but I think some people are thinking more basketball, like, okay, basketball is going to have a higher score, obviously. But I honestly wouldn't be surprised. Like, I might bet on that if you give me a little bit of a spread. Like,
underrated tweet for sure.
Thank you.
I think I would definitely pick basketball for sure, just because. You know, if you're Alabama, man, what's the point of running up 70, 80 points? Although I will say it would be fun to see a football team crack 100 points. I will say that. Sure. Like, even though it's Alabama and I hate them, but it would still be kind of fun to see them rack up 100 points on a team. So, Nick Saban, if you're listening, man, rack it up. Go all in. Start your court. Yeah. Start Tao. Start him the entire game and just go at it.
Does your scoreboard have 3 digits? We want to know.
Yeah, seriously, we're gonna find out real quick. That scoreboard might just blow up.
I get what you're saying though, like how they're not gonna run up the score, but they still have to play for like 60 minutes. So yeah. I'm not, I don't think they're going to just take a knee. There's going to be some points scored, and I'm not sure anyone can do anything about it, trying or not trying.
Yeah, I'm not sure if Texas basketball could even keep up with Alabama's offense.
Yeah. And another thing, like talking about running up scores and football, I know we're kind of getting on football here, but Barry Switzer, back when he was Oklahoma coach, he was just pounding teams, man. Like, just going through them and putting up these ridiculous scores, and people were kind of judging him on it. He's like, dude, I have my third string guys in there. He's like, what do you want me to tell them? They don't get to play very often. So when they go in and play, you want me to tell them stop playing? No, you're not going to tell them that. These third string players are going to go out there and they're going to play probably harder than the first string guys. Cause they're looking for a spot. So yeah, man. Yep. And so yeah, that was real interesting. I'm sure that happens all over.
Yeah, it's funny because I was watching North Carolina play Elon the other night, and that game kind of got out of hand there at the end, and Carolina had all their backups in, and Elon had all their backups in, and like, I bet there was probably an extra like 20 possessions in that basketball game because like each team just kept running down, jacking threes. Guys are like, I'm getting on the scoreboard. Let's do this. Like, there must have been an extra 15 or 20 possessions. Like, I don't think the shot clock ever went below like 19 before the ball went up for either side. So yeah, it's fun to watch those guys get in the game and get a shot. So all right, let's see if I can get us steered back on track here. Citadel, Texas. Got it. Louisiana Lafayette plays at Kansas. And Sunday, we've got Wolford at Oklahoma. And then College of Charleston at Oklahoma State. Monday is kind of when things get heated up a little bit. We got Arizona versus Iowa State, and that's in Maui. Texas Tech versus USC, and that's the Hall of Fame Classic in Kansas City. Tuesday, we've got Lipscomb at TCU. And then Wednesday, a couple other good ones, Florida versus Oklahoma, and that's Battle for Atlantis. And then we got Marquette versus Kansas, and what is that, the preseason NIT. So we've got some testers coming up, which is exciting to see, and kind of, you know, we need more good basketball games from Monday through Friday, you know, to get us to each Saturday here the final couple weeks. So it'll be fun to I love these tournament weekends, like the Thanksgiving tournaments, when I get to sit down and gorge myself and then watch basketball in the afternoon and watch some NFL football. So I really like that they do these tournaments around the holidays and these break times. So I look forward to seeing those and you know, catching up when and getting to see more teams play, because I'll be kind of laying around in food coma for a day or so. So so on that, anything you guys want to add this evening before we wrap this thing up?
I just want to apologize that KU is going to win the Big 12 again, and I wish after the season I'll send you guys all a condolence card, maybe some flowers, just to make you feel a little bit better. But I just don't want you to hate me, so just know that it's going to happen, and just, you know, go easy on me this year, man. I love you guys.
Hey, if you're sending out get better soon cards and flowers, you might want to send a couple extra to Sky after Kansas wins the Big 12 championship, because I think he's going to be a little distraught. But
yeah, I bet so. Poor Sky.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Let's Fitz, tell everyone where they can find you and follow your stuff and get your less miles tracker on.
Oh yeah. Let's get a little bit of that in there. All right, so you can follow me on my my personal page at FitzDaddy85. The Fitz, yeah, buddy.
FitzDaddy.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I got that name in soccer, man. I was a soccer goalie, and one of my defenders I would make a big save, and he'd just call me FitzDaddy, man, and it stuck. So, actually, funny thing is, I actually put FitzDaddy on the back of my goalie jersey. Yeah, dude, pretty legit. Awesome. So that's where that came from. But, anyways, you can follow me there. I run help run hawkjock.com, HAWKJOCK.com. We blog there, have some podcasts as well. We have a new one, it's called Drunk in the Fog, is where we drink some beers and just talk about KU sports, you know, just kind of whatever comes up. I also run the Twitter for Big 12 Country, the Jayhawk one, and it's Jayhawks_B12C. That's where you can find me there. And real quick, as far as Les Miles thing, Jeff Long, man, he's been trolling people hardcore on Twitter. We don't know where he's at. We don't know what he's doing. He's been sending out fake flights. There's been a couple going to Baton Rouge, and they haven't. He's been trolling people on Twitter about it. He's interviewed some questionable candidates. And that's the thing with Jeff Long, man. If you look at his past and hiring coaches, he's very secretive about it, and he's sneaky, and he'll throw you off the scent. So I'm not sure what's going to happen at this point. You know, I put up my percentages now. At the beginning, I think I had Les Miles at like 16%. Now I got him all the way down to 24%, and I added a category other, which is now sitting at 40%. So I think he's just going to bring in someone we have no clue who. It wouldn't even be on anybody's radar. So, it'll be interesting to watch. So keep an eye out.
Awesome. Thanks, man. All right, Tyler, tell everyone one more time where they can catch it.
Yeah, personal Twitter account at TRMassur, M-A-S-U-R, Longhorns underscore B12C. Also, go give us a follow or a like on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram for the Big 12 country page. Running both of those. Give us a like, give us a follow. Come on and talk all the crap you want. We really like that. So we like interacting with y'all.
Yeah, for sure. We love interacting with everyone. Tell us how we're doing. This podcast is just getting started, so it'll continue to get better as we go. But we'd love to hear your feedback. Hear what you want to hear from us, what you want us to talk about. If you just want to hear us banter, that would be great too. So you can follow our Big 12 Country Hoops page at B12C underscore hoops. And you can catch me at JGodwin10. And then I also run the West Virginia Twitter account, and that's ears underscore B12C. So make sure you check us out, follow us, check us out on Facebook, do all that fun stuff. And then you can also follow the main Big 12 Country account, and that's Big 12 at Big 12 Country, XII, not the number. So check those guys out. They should have their football podcast coming out probably tomorrow, I think. Like us on everything, follow us on everything, and interact with us. We like the banter, and like these guys said, we're just fans like you guys, and we just want to have a good time and talk Big 12 sports, because the big networks like ESPN don't like to do it very often. So we will we'll do it ourselves. So thanks again, guys, for joining me tonight and getting through your sickness so you can get this thing done. So have a good night, and I'll talk to y'all soon.
Peace. All right.